Man. Thank you, Pastor Blake. How y'all doing? I know I'm in the right place because Pastor Rico Fork is a dear friend of mine. So Rico, love you, bro. Love you. So Pastor Rico Fork is the pastor there. I would bring him to Guam and bring teams from Manila, from the Philippines. And then one of the first people we led to the Lord, he was actually a leader of a gang, is now our pastor of every nation in Las Vegas, and he's half Panamanian, half Filipino. So anyway, I'm in the right place here this morning. So such a treat to be with you all, and it's been just pure joy. Okay, Pastor Blake, bless you, friend. Love you. Be filled. It's powerful, bro. It was great. It's just been pure joy getting to know Pastor Blake and his wife, and what a wonderful community. And your character is your destiny. And so I just really commend you all. And then dear friends, Mike and Mary Beth Williams, dear me, we go back to the 80s. We're very, very good friends. Pastor Mike and Mary Beth both were in our wedding back before Running Water and the dinosaurs, you know. But actually, it was 1987 in Charlottesville at the chapel there. So they too are just very, very dear friends. Beatty Bass, just wonderful to see you up here, Pastor Beatty, leading worship. I didn't know him until I came back off the mission field. We actually did a workshop at a conference. I don't know if it was Campus Harvest, but an Every Nation conference. But I found out later, his cousin was my best friend in high school. And so that's just been a great connection, and I'm still in touch with Jimmy. But I tell you, Beatty's dad, Sarvis Bass, he was a dude. I mean, he was a dude. My friend, his father had passed away when he was young, and Sarvis Bass took my friend and mentored him and taught him competitive water skiing, and he sold ski boats and skis and all of the paraphernalia. But also back in like 1969, speaking of being a dude, he was part of the Wilson Fike Cyclones. They're the Titans now. Part of a state championship football team. So anyway, I feel like I'm with home folk up in here today. So anyway, and y'all know today's Whit Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday. So what a great, great day to be with you here in the summer. This is my wife, Elizabeth, up here on the front row. Thank you for waving, Elizabeth. And I'm thrilled about this series on prayer. It is essential. And we don't deify prayer, but it's a mechanism to get us to God. Amen. Just like the Word, just like meditation, just like worship, it gets us to that lovely man, Christ Jesus. So my heart is to stir hunger this morning and to provoke. And I just pray that God would pull the veil from our eyes to see the beauty of who he is. Because if we can be captured by the beauty of that lovely man, Christ Jesus, we'll be smitten forever. We will not quit. Anyone can quit but a man and woman in love. And so there's a degree of duty in what we do, but a fascinated heart will take us the distance, and a love and an affection for the Lord Jesus. He is altogether lovely. He is holy, desirable. He is the desired of nations. And when we see him, we're motivated, we're fascinated. And what we do to love. Amen. And I just commend you and all of your dutiful ministry. Always allow love for God and passion for Jesus to go a few steps ahead of discipline. Amen. Because that's what will take us the distance. So Lord, we invite your power. We invite your presence. We ask you even for a touch of your glory here on Whit Sunday, on Pentecost Sunday. Lord, 50 days after resurrection, you flexed your muscles in great power, and you came down and you birthed the church. And we just ask you, oh God, for a token of your power here this morning. I ask you for a token of your glory here today. And I pray your kingdom come, your will be done here today, even as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. And all the God's people in Greenville, North Carolina said, amen. I got my ACL restored here. Dr. Tally Lasseter, who sat on the football team of the Pirates here in Greenville. Y'all got the medical thing down in this city. I mean, y'all got the... So anyway, so good to be here. Mark 3, 13 through 15. Let's read this out loud together. We're going to throw it up there for you. Let's read this out loud. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. Notice the order. Nothing random, nothing arbitrary here. He called them to himself first. He called them to be with him. Their first calling was to be with him. Then he sent them out to preach the gospel and to drive out demons. So our primary calling and our primary mission in life, yes, we want to go to Panama. Yes, we want to reach the campuses. We want to reach the cities. But our primary calling, church, unequivocally, is to be with him, is to be with him who our heart loves. Amen. He called them to himself that they might be with him. That is our primary calling. Our secondary calling is to do the stuff of the kingdom, to preach, cast out devils, to heal, to reconcile, etc., etc. So the progression we see in Scripture is intimacy, then ministry. Intimacy, then ministry. Can we say that out loud together? Intimacy, then ministry. Ministry's good, but I don't want to do ministry apart from Jesus. I don't want to do ministry apart from a hot heart. I don't want to do ministry because of a sense of duty. I mean, there are times where it is duty, you know, where we're not feeling squat, you know, so it's not about the feelings, but I want to keep my heart hot because it will affect that ministry that we put our hands to. It'll be authentic, it'll be life-giving, and there'll be something tangible and something other because it's not mechanical. Because just as you said, when you have a passion, or the VBS lady said, when you have a passion, it will affect someone else. Hello? It'll get off on them. And I tell you, there's a lot going on right now in our world. I'm praying for our nation. I trust you are too. But at the end of the day, I'm praying, dear God, break in, break in, break in, and reveal the glory and the beauty of your Son. Because that's what will conquer and capture a nation. That's what will conquer a generation. Because it's like all the man-made remedies, they're just not working. It's almost like a runaway train. And it's going to take a force greater than that to stop it and to do a course correction and to bring alignment with the Father through Christ. Amen. So intimacy, then ministry. If you'll remember in Acts 13, when the Lord said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Set apart Barnabas and Saul for me. Can you say for me? For me. Then to do the work which I have called them. So just think about for a moment the fallacy of an evangelist going all over the world telling everyone how great God is, but yet not having any real devoted time himself. Hello? And that can happen if we're not careful. I mean, that'd be analogous to me going around the world telling everyone how amazing my wife is, and she is amazing. And I'm spending all my time traveling to the nations telling everyone how amazing my wife is. And she is. But look, if she's that amazing, then bless God, I'm going to have some Taylor time. Hello, with my wife. Hello. I mean, if it's that great, I mean, I do want to brag, and I would, but if it's that great, I'm going to have some time. And it's funny, different love languages. I mean, she knows my love languages. Come down here and just sit with me. You know, just be, you know, whether we're watching TV, reading books, whatever, you know. So that's the logic. Intimacy, then ministry. You know, one man said it this way. He said his life mission was to be a worshiper of God and a deliverer of men. A worshiper of God and a deliverer of men, whether he was a teacher or a plumber or a preacher or a lawyer or whatever. It didn't matter. He just happened to be a vocational minister. But he said that would be my life mission, regardless of my vocation, to be a worshiper of God and a deliverer of men. So there is an order here. There's a template. There's a pattern. And as you begin this quest on prayer, I believe that God's going to sneak up on you and he's going to reveal himself to you, because you may start off a little bit crusty at first. Anytime you start something, it's a little bit clunky, a little bit awkward, a little bit sterile. But once you get in the groove, all of a sudden the current will shift and the spirit of prayer will come and carry you. It's addicting. It's addictive. And I mean, he'll sneak up on you and you'll think, I got to have some more. this is good. I could have had this all along. Can I get that water, by the way? Can I have this all along? And so you can pop that bad boy. Thank you. See, I told you she was amazing. You can take the tap. You can take the top. You can have that. There you go. So we appreciate the practice, but again, prayer is going to take us to Him. It's going to get us to Him. We need God right now, guys. Matter of fact, I mean, we need Him yesterday. We got to have God. And all of our getting, we have got. And I encourage us all, let's live close to the Lord in these days. Let's live close. Turn to your neighbor and say, live close. I just did that so he wouldn't look at me drink water. Anyway, kind of like Oz, don't look at the man behind the curtain. But there's an order here. I'm going to just go through a couple of them. Mark 1:17. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me, intimacy. I will make you fishers of men, ministry. Do you get it? Come follow me, intimacy. I will make you fishers of men, ministry. Song of Solomon 1:4. Draw me after you and let us run together. So draw me after you, intimacy, run together, ministry. Now, some people want to run before they've first been drawn. Now, there's a place of running. Matter of fact, Philemon says, we understand every good thing we have in Christ through the sharing of our faith. So there's a revelation that comes through the sharing. But sometimes we want to run before we've first been drawn. Y'all ever seen these football games where the split end will just take off and he's beat the defensive back of the defense and he's wide open just near the end zone. And right when the ball's landing in his hand, he turns too quick and it either hits his helmet or bounces off his shoulder pads. And it's like, you know, Jethro, the goal is to catch it and then cross the line. But he started running before he caught the ball. Church, we've got to catch the ball. Jesus is the ball. Before we run into the nations, we got to give them something. We got to have a case of terminal Jesus up in here. Hello? We got to have the Lord and passion for Him. And He's the delight of our heart. Then we have something to give. So again, there's an ordering here and a pattern here. Isaiah 6:1, Isaiah saw the Lord. Then he said, send me. You see the progression there. It was based on that encounter. He saw him. I mean, Peter and the disciples in the upper room at Pentecost, they had a throne room encounter, and then the church was born. Matter of fact, they were there worshiping and waiting as they had been instructed to do. They were waiting, and I tell you, waiting is a place of power. Don't despise it. And it doesn't really matter what you feel like. God didn't say if you feel anointed, then I'm pleased with it. We just do it out of obedience to the Lord. So they were waiting before the Lord. That was their agenda. I mean, it was not a thing where Peter pulled out his day timer and said, all right, tomorrow, what are we going to do tomorrow? Tomorrow, I'm going to go out, okay, I'm going to preach, and I think I'm going to go ahead and start the church. That's what I'm going to do. No, they were just in a throne room moment. The power of God fell. Peter goes out the next day and burps, and 3,000 people get saved. So the fruit was the response to going vertical. It's the vertical, then the horizontal, you see. People say, well, I don't know that I'm real good in bearing fruit. If we're not good at bearing fruit, it just means we're not good at abiding. If we're good at abiding, then the fruit, you won't be fruit conscious. You won't be driven by performance. You're just obsessed with your lover, and then babies come. I mean, if there hadn't been conception, you can push all day long. What are you doing? I'm bearing fruit. Well, has conception taken place? Well, you can push and grunt and snort and huff and puff. Nothing's going to pop out. Hello? So our focus and obsession is to spend time with our lover. Babies will come. Can you say babies will come? Babies will come. The vertical produces the horizontal. And in that context of Pentecost, the upreach is what produced the outreach. The upreach produced the outreach. I mean, many times you may not consider yourself prophetic, but if you're a worshiper, all of a sudden the prophetic will come. Maybe you don't think you have a gift of healing, but if you worship, the power will come. We've seen our most dramatic miracles on the hills of worship. David was on the backside of Bethlehem, Jerusalem, picking that fiddle. He was just worshiping God. He was a lover of God. Then the bear and the lion came, and he wasn't just, you know, thinking he was some he-man. He was in a context of worship, came. Then the lion and the bear came, and he snapped the neck. He killed it. Why? Because of the power released due to worship. He went from worshiper to dude. Yeah. Muscle came on him. So you will bump into things just by going heavenward. Matter of fact, if we're bold in going up, you know what? God will be bold in coming down. But if we're timid in going up, God in essence would be timid in coming down. So we want to be extravagant. We want to be bold in going up. And then all kind of things can happen. Even in worship today, all kind of things could have been happening. Even without them being called out, just in a context of worship. My wife had never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit before. And as a little Methodist girl, she was out at this retreat and was out on a bench on this trail and just starts loving on God and praying. And all of a sudden, these words start coming out. She's like, what is that? It's kind of like Acts 1:1, where it talked about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Sometimes he'll do you first, then tell you later what he did to you. In the West, we like to teach and then go into workshop. But sometimes God's like, I ain't got time. I'm just going to do them. Saul of Tarsus, he wasn't on his way to a Bible study. You know, he just said, I ain't got time. Just blam, carpet time right there, blam. I'm going to drop him. I'll take him out in the wilderness. I'll explain it later. And he's just like, he was clueless. The vertical produces the horizontal. Similarly, John 12:41 relays about the prophet Isaiah. Said Isaiah saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. So intimacy, ministry. Intimacy, ministry. Song of Solomon 7:11. Come, my beloved, let us go into the field. Come, intimacy, go into the field, ministry. Field speaks of ministry. And church, we have to put the first commandment first. Amen? Maybe y'all have heard that before, but it's imperative. When the religious leaders tried to trick them, the Pharisees in Matthew 22, by asking, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus extrapolated a little bit. He said, the first and greatest is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor. It's hard to love our neighbor if we're not first connected with the grace and the ability to love with God's love. And so the first commandment needs to be in first place. I love the Great Commission, but I'm not going to even allow that to eclipse the Great Commandment. The Great Commission will happen because of the Great Commandment. So maybe we have the first commandment in number 2 or 4 or 6 or 8. Maybe we got it down here. He goes, no, I want the first commandment up in first place. Love him. Love him. Love him. Discover him afresh. Open my eyes, Lord, I pray. I ask you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are. Open my understanding and quicken me, Lord. I need fresh discovery. Even in heaven, we won't be bored. We'll be encountering him for a gazillion years going, oh, dear Lord, holy, holy, holy. And we will be learning of him for all of eternity. So the place that man is not gone before is not Spock and Kirk and the Enterprise and that crowd, but it's the depths of our God. We know him, but we don't know him. We know him, but there are galaxies to his personhood, to who he is. He's infinitely beautiful and glorious. And all of our getting, we want to get him. We want to catch the ball. So the vertical producing the horizontal. Love the Lord, yes, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Your neighbor is yourself. So we breathe in worship. We breathe out evangelism, ministry, and acts of service. We breathe in worship and prayer and the knowledge of the Lord. We breathe out. It's just very natural then to give it away because we'll talk about what we're passionate about, will we not? And again, all of this is a provocation for prayer. I could have gone through mechanics of prayer, but I thought, no, I want to inflame hunger. 1 Kings 17, God told Elijah, Elijah, go hide yourself. Intimacy. And the very next chapter in 1 Kings 18, it said, now, Elijah, go show yourself to the king. Go hide yourself. In other words, let the wine ferment just a little bit. And then when you stand before the king in chapter 18, then because of that hidden secret place, when you stand before the king, you can look him in the eyes and say, it's not going to rain anymore until I say so. Good day. And walk off. The power and the authority to address the king is because he did not despise chapter 17. Go hide yourself. Then go show. Some of y'all are in a season of being hidden. It's okay. You live before the audience of one. We want to please only one. But I tell you what, it is an environment and a context of digging wells, developing a secret history with God, so that when you do speak, so when you do step out, God's on you. The religious leaders marveled at the disciples. These were unlearned and ordinary men, but they could tell that they had been with Christ. Some here maybe are highly credentialed, maybe more degrees than a thermometer, maybe others aren't. Look, you just need time with the Lord. Yeah, get your training when you can, but that's not the ticket. That's not the silver bullet. A secret history in God, knowing the Lord, is the key. Are we here? So if you're in a season of hiddenness, don't despise it. You're developing a secret history. In John 6, it says, Jesus withdrew to a mountain by himself. And he did that quite often. He'd leave the party, wouldn't he? Sometimes you just got to leave the party. Where'd so-and-so go? Well, see, he's got this relationship with the Father. And many times he was on the mountain praying by himself, alone. It says in John 6, he went up to a mountain by himself. Can you say by himself? And see, when you start a prayer life by yourself, it can be a little sterile. It can be a little clunky. It's okay. You just stay with it. And I'm telling you, the spirit of prayer will come on you in time. But he'd go up on the mountain by himself. And then after that, he came down and walked on the water. I think because he was on the mountain, because see, he was doing ministry as the Son of Man, not just the Son of God, but because he was in fellowship with his Father on that mountain. Then the very next verse talks about him coming down. The disciples had gone ahead of him. Then he walked on the water. Does anyone want to walk on the water? At least metaphorically speaking, okay? No one get wet today unless, you know, unless the mountaintop will help. How many of y'all have ever heard of Rice Brooks before? Pastor Rice Brooks, he's one of our co-founders. He wrote the book, God's Not Dead. When he got saved as a college student, it was like, I think just a few weeks later, or maybe a month later, was spring break. Maybe you know that youth pastors and pastors, anytime there's spring break and you've got a crop of folk that are just recently saved, you're like, oh, dear Lord, you know, keep them, God, keep them. And you keep, you know. So all of his buddies were going down to Fort Lauderdale and getting away, and he said, I'm not going to do that. Rice went in a cabin by himself and holed up in this cabin with a bunch of faith preaching tapes. Now, a cassette tape, it was a plastic little square about like this, and you put them into a machine, and you can actually record, you know, and it'll come out. So he got alone on his whole week-long spring break and just listened to faith. Listen, because many don't know this, but Rice had been crippled with fear in his BC days. And so now where he used to be weak, all you know is Rice, the man of strength and power and faith. But in the area of his weakness, he now was strong. But there's no mystery to it. So he holds up in this cabin in the woods and just listening to faith. Took his Bible, listening to faith for a whole week. And he says, I have power coming out of me today that I can trace back to that week in the cabin. There's power coming off my life that I can trace back that still, it's like the residuals, the dividends are still paying off. And this new focus y'all are having on prayer, I tell you, you know, the Bible says in Galatians, God's not mocked. And we always think of that in the negative context. But the other side of the ledger said, he who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Yes, if you reap to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so God would say to you, GCF, listen, God is not mocked. You sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. It'll pop up somewhere. You spend 10 minutes with God in the morning, it'll pop up somewhere. Maybe that day, maybe next week, I don't know. But there's going to be fruit off that 10 minutes. Why? Because God's not mocked. God, you sow toward heaven, heaven will sow toward you. You give God a little bit, and God will respond. It's in his sovereignty where he allows it to manifest. But God will come through. Are we here? Our man David said in Psalm 4, 3, for the Lord has set apart the godly for missions. For God has set apart the godly for ministry. Acts of service. No, what? For the Lord has set apart the godly for whom? Himself. What an invitation. What an amazing God. If I were God, I'd be impersonal. But I mean, who else has a God like our God who acts on behalf of those who wait for him? He wants relationship. And some of us have got a few, you know, several decades of ministry, but there's more to be had. There's more understanding of the Lord to be had. And it makes what we do pure joy versus a task. Remember, always allow love for God to stay a few steps ahead of duty. You always want love for God to stay a few steps ahead of discipline. It would kind of like being a nurse. A nurse has a job. Any nurses in the house? Okay, all right. It'd kind of be like you making the rounds, you know, in the clinic or the hospital, and you go into a room, maybe take the clipboard, and you're there and checking the vitals and doing your job, which is good. But what if the nurse falls in love with the patient? Then it's more than just checking a box. It's like, now let's get that blanket up there a little bit more. Have you had enough to drink? Well, let's get you some more. Let's get, how's the food? In other words, it's not just a job. Are we here? What we're doing, it's not just a job. Come on, it is pure joy to represent him. It is pure joy. Prayer will get us to him and that place of discerning him rightly to where it'll change our whole inner constitution. It'll change our emotional chemistry. Are we here? Time with him. Time with him. And I tell you what, when you have that and you develop that history, no one can take it away from you. There are certain things people, men, can take away, but your walk with God, no one can take it away. It'd be like a bodybuilder who's spending, you know, hours a day in the gym. In essence, that bodybuilder is carrying his reward with him everywhere he goes. You can tell that dude, he's a gym rat. He's spending lots of time in the gym. He's carrying his reward with him. When we spend quality time with the Lord, that friendship is our reward, isn't it? That intimate knowledge of who God is, that's our reward. Jeremiah 30, 21, I will bring him near and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? What an invitation. What an invitation. You know, in Christianity, the main thing is keeping the main thing, for that is the main thing. Simplicity of devotion to a person. Simplicity of devotion. And all of our getting, because some things are going to fall by the wayside, that's one thing we will not allow to fall by the wayside. May he not be, as some theologians have referred to, as the forgotten man of the Bible. Remember, Jesus chided the Pharisees because they searched the scriptures night and day because they thought that in them they could have life. But these were the very scriptures that spoke of him, but yet they weren't willing to go to him. And so we don't get into bibliolatry. I mean, we appreciate the word of God. It is amazing. But the scriptures likewise take us to him. And when we're in the word, we pray, God, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. I want to meet you in the scriptures, and I want to pray through what you reveal. So it's not merely a doctrine, but a personal encounter. Theologian R.C. Sproul said, quote, "We know it's possible for people to be enamored by certain elements of Christianity," and we can throw that up if you have it. We know that it's possible for people to be enamored by certain elements of Christianity without ever embracing Christ himself. Perhaps a young person is attracted to a fun and stimulating youth group that has an appealing program. The person may be converted to the program without being converted to Christ. Interesting. You know, we can only build on one foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. And again, all of our getting to get him. Acts 8:5, Philip had one shot when he went down to Samaria. Remember when Philip went down to Samaria? He's like, I've got one shot at it. What am I going to give him? 10 steps, 3 keys? No, he's like, I've got one shot. It's a hit and run. It says, Philip went down into Samaria and he preached the Christ there. I've got one shot. I'm going to give him Jesus. I'm going to preach in such a way that the glory of who he is going to be seen and understood. I'm going to preach the glories of Christ. And he preached the Christ there. How many of y'all believe that Jesus is sufficient? Amen. I mean, I tell you, there are no other tricks in the bag. The secret weapon of the ages, God is revealing his son to this generation, to the nation, to the nations. Religion won't do it. Mere governmental policy won't do it. I mean, we have got to have an encounter with the Lord of glory. Amen. That's the only thing that'll shift the human heart. A man's politics will never change until his heart changes. His disposition won't change until he's had an encounter, you see. Mike Bickle said, quote, "The church has focused on many benefits of redemption, salvation, healing, wholeness, purity, power, and authority, but we have not emphasized Jesus and his magnificent personhood as the focal point of redemption. The church knows Jesus redemptively as Savior, but not intimately as an infinitely glorious person. In many ways, Jesus can still be a stranger in his own house." A lot of people know about the Lord, but do they know him? If we build the Lord a house of devotion, he'll build us a house of ministry. If we build him a house of devotion, he'll build us a house of ministry. If we build him a house of devotion, he'll build us a house of ministry. Intimacy, ministry. Intimacy, ministry. And my prayer is that through this time set apart in this series. And again, it may start off a little clunky. I've heard testimony for years about husbands and wives trying to pray together. I mean, on the front end, it's going to be a little clunky, all right? My wife and I have been doing it for years. Tuesday is our protected morning. Leave the dirty dishes in the sink. You know, that's our time. We pray for the family. We pray for other things. And it feels like the walls have gone up. I mean, you can't point to anything tangibly, but I feel like in the spirit, we got some work done. I mean, you can just feel it. I mean, it's not like a carpenter who can go into a workshop and like build a table, then come out and say, I just spent the last hour doing this. You go into prayer, you come out, you got nothing to show for it. You have to have confidence in things your eyes can't see. It was time well spent. There was this one minister one time who spent an hour in prayer, and he said the devil came up and just said, you just wasted 1 hour. He said, all right, just for that, I'm going to go back and pray 2 hours. Went back and prayed 2 hours, came out, heard the enemy whisper, you just wasted 3 hours. After that, he went back in. The enemy left him alone. There's a sense that when you pray, you can't see it, but in your spirit, man, it's like, this was good. We are covered. The walls have gone up. The blood is applied. We've gotten some things done. So husbands and wives, stick with it. Because it's addicting. So Tuesday's our day, but now we almost find ourselves doing it just every day. Just every day. I mean, the waters are good. The waters are, on the front end, it may be like, But in every discipline like that, that's why we would hear back in the 80s about it. It starts with a desire, then discipline, then it shifts into delight. And that's where God tricks you. It's like you're going against the current and you can feel the pull of the current, but all of a sudden God honors your heart. He honors the sacrifice. And all of a sudden the current shifts. And now, whoa, you're being carried by, whoa, this is fun. And you're riding on the spirit of prayer because you found the goal of your pursuit. Any God chasers in the house? He likes to be found. I mean, the Bible says it's the glory of God to hide himself, the glory of kings to search it out. But I tell you what, he's a poor hider. I mean, it'd be like me trying to hide between a seedling, my stomach out one way and out the other, you know, with a little, you know, little child, you know, ready or not, here I come. You want to be found. God wants to be found. He 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 wants to be found. God is love, and he loves love, and he loves to love. He just wants some folk to talk to go with. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Oh, he wants to bring his bride. You're his bride. He's a bridegroom. He's not a CEO. He's not a taskmaster. He's the great husband, the bridegroom. What a privilege. He wants to do life with us. And there are times we do stuff, but there are times like, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. Stuff's going to happen, but I just want to be with you because that's your primary calling. That's your primary calling. That's your primary calling. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for a stirring of hunger and passion that's not by the zeal and the sweat of man. I pray that you strengthen this house with power by your spirit and their inner man with new desires, new cravings, new path. Matter of fact, let's just stand up for a moment. Let's just lift your hands. Lord, I pray, oh God, for a fresh encounter and a fresh vision. Matter of fact, if we've got someone on the keys, that'd be good. Lord, I just ask you, Father, by your kind mercies, to provoke and stir, to provoke and stir. And Lord, if we've been a little stale, that's okay. If we've been crusty, that's fine. You know that we're but dust. You know that our frame, we're wrapped in humanity. Lord, we're hot one day and cold the next. It's okay. So this is not something to get under some yoke. God is going to help us. He's going to help you in that spirit of prayer. He's going to help you in this series. And let me say, don't despise 10 minutes. God can do a lot in 10 minutes. Don't despise a holy 5 minutes. Just start with something. So, Lord, I just pray for the desire to burn. I pray for a burning heart. I pray for a hot heart, God. I pray for a hot heart. I pray for a hot heart. Again, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a plumber, whether you're, you know, a lawyer, whether you're a physician, whether you're a vocational ministry, none of that means anything. We want to be worshipers of God and deliverers of men. I just pray that regardless of the season of life, Lord, I pray for fresh passion. Lord, some of us that have years under our belt, may we not live off the testimony of yesteryear. Lord, I ask you for a fresh encounter. I ask you for fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh anointing, fresh anointing, fresh anointing. Just ask him right at your seat for it. Come on, ask him, ask him. Lord, I ask you for fresh anointing, fresh anointing, fresh passion, renewed hearts right now, 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 now. Let it come, Lord, like a river. Let it come, Lord, with glory. Let it come, God, with power. Fresh passion. Fresh stirrings. Lord, you're going to work with us. You're going to help us. You know, it's real interesting. I was reading in Acts this week, and in Acts 13, when they sent out Barnabas and Saul, you always read the order, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. But then that sorcerer that was, you know, following them, and then it says that a filling of the Holy Ghost came on Paul, and he declared blindness over that sorcerer. He says, your heart is full of wickedness, and he said, you're not going to see for a certain time. So it was like a fresh anointing came on Saul. And from there onward, it was Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. Paul, it started off Barnabas and Saul, but there was a fresh anointing that came and the power released to get that obstacle out of the way. So Lord, we just ask you for it right now. Lord, here we are. Here we are right now. Here we are. Here we are, oh God, right now, asking you for lift, asking you for help, asking you for the dynamic that only you can provide. Lord, we're tired in ourselves. We can't muster anything up. We can't work anything up. The zeal of man produces death. But Lord, I pray the zeal that comes from above. Lord, I pray for fresh affections. For Lord, you are altogether lovely. You are wholly desirable. You are the desired of nations. And we ask you, O Christ, remove any haze from our gaze that we'd be conquered and smitten with a fresh revelation of who you are. I just pray hot hearts all over this room. Hot hearts. Thank you, God. Secret histories in you, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you that there'll be great fruit. Some of you, you're going to move in things you hadn't moved before, again, just due to a throne room encounter. Remember, Peter didn't know the church was going to be born on the day of Pentecost. They were just waiting. They were just waiting, anticipating, waiting. They were just obedient. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. So we thank you for helping us, God. Thank you for helping. And Lord, I declare over GCF a new grace as they go into this series, a new grace for prayer. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. A new it'll be pure joy, as Isaiah declared, joy in the house of prayer. Pure joy, because you're the reward of our pursuit. In Jesus' name, you're the reward. You're the reward. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a big shout right now? Come on. Pastor Blake.
Thank you, Pastor Taylor. Wasn't that good? Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Taylor. Thank you, Ms. Elizabeth. What a great word. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be filled with passion this week in prayer. If you can come out Wednesday night, come be with us. If you can't be here on Wednesday night, find 10, 15, 30 minutes in your own home. Carve out a time. Be with the Lord, okay? If you can be here this coming Wednesday, we're going to have a great time with Matthew Lilly, the head of the Burn, this time just to really impart some more passion for prayer and help us in that. And we'll be here all month on Wednesday night, so please come and join us for that. If you're not doing anything tonight and you don't have plans, we're going to grill out burgers and dogs and jump in the pool together and have a good time, harass each other, have fun. If y'all can be there for that, please do, and we'll see you later this week. Y'all have a great day. Turn around and greet someone before you leave. Tell them you're glad they're here.